Welcome to the Men on Purpose podcast, featuring dynamic conversations with emerging and established visionary men on purpose. Thanks for joining us today as we celebrate the men on purpose who are committed, creative, courageous change makers all around the world. Now, here's the host of Men on Purpose, Emerald Greenforest.
And welcome to another episode of the Men on Purpose podcast, where we celebrate men on purpose and provide our listeners with wisdom and immediately actionable steps to be more purposeful, powerful, and positive in their impact and their leadership. This is your host, Emerald Greenforest, and today we welcome our very special guest, Ken Bader. Ken is the founder of Bader Training and Consulting Incorporated and the Police Officers Credit Union Association. He has 25 years of experience in helping organizations to create environments where employees actually want to come to work and members want to keep coming back. He is also the creator and executive producer of two podcasts. One is called Beyond the Call, which serves the Police Officers Credit Union and our brothers in blue. And the other, which is called Cool Culture Corner, which focuses more on team building and consulting. So thank you so much for being here, Ken. The first time Ken and I met, we met at the New Media Summit. And I didn't realize that you had two things going on. So it's really exciting to actually have somebody who is actually an entrepreneur who has two plates spinning, because that happens so much in the world, but not too many people put that face forward. So thank you so much for being here, Ken. I'm really excited to dive in.
Oh, my pleasure. I appreciate you having me, Emerald.
All right. Well, I want to start with the call, because I love that one of your podcasts is called Beyond the Call. And I know that in that case, it's really about the call to duty for police officers. But for me, there's this larger call that I think men on purpose have. So I'd love to hear from you what your experience was of receiving the call, either into entrepreneurship or receiving the call to become a podcaster or receiving the call to serve police officers, whichever call you want to start with. I want to hear about how you became called to serve and what that experience was like for you.
Absolutely. Well, yeah, the call to being an entrepreneur, you know, started when I was an executive in normal business life, as some people might put it. I was vice president of business development and marketing in the 90s for a $4 billion financial institution in the Chicagoland area. And when I was going back to school for my master's, the long story short, I wound up in the entrepreneurial program at DePaul University, which I loved. They did an awesome job of having a lot of entrepreneurs that have built businesses and succeeded, tried to build businesses and failed, to give people some real world advice and guidance, and had always enjoyed being a trainer and mentoring and doing certain things from a speaking and writing standpoint. So in 2001, when I got canned from that VP job, you know, I frankly, in less than a week, just kind of segued into entrepreneurial life to create Bader Training and Consulting. You also mentioned the call to serve law enforcement and to be a voice for law enforcement families out there. That was an interesting journey, frankly, possibly even more interesting than the entrepreneurial one. But about a year and a half after I had started Bader Training and Consulting, I had the pleasure to have one of my first clients, a Chicago Patrolman's Federal Credit Union, and learned a lot about their organization and their service to the Chicago Police Department and so forth, and found that there was not a Police Officers Credit Union Association, where there was one for firefighters and teachers and airline workers and so forth. So the CEO of Chicago Patrolmen, Scott Arney, and I had lunch one day and said, you know, hey, true Chicago fashion, you want to do this? And so he and I worked together to create that. And in terms of the call, it's had a lot more meaning over the last few years. where there's been some very unfortunate negative feelings towards law enforcement. Frankly, some of it, little bit of it, they do deserve. They do need to change and adapt to the new world and the new society that we have. But a lot of it, and I would say well over 80% of it, is undeserved. I think that the people that are in law enforcement, just like you and I, Emerald, they just want to do a great job and then go home to their families and have dinner and so forth. And it's unfortunate what's happened to them. So that passion for that part of my business is certainly grown in recent years to make sure that we're showing a clear voice of support for law enforcement and especially their families that have to deal with some of the negativity as well.
Yeah, so what's interesting to me when I'm hearing that, Ken, is I need to have some help here myself with how does a credit union association, like I'm unclear about how that works, how that serves your officers and their families, and that's part of the question. The second part of the question is it just in the Chicago area or is this a nationwide organization?
Oh, great question. So the second part of it is easy. It's a nationwide organization. You know, we have credit unions and other organizations from that are involved with us all over the country, including Hawaii. So hello to all of our Hawaii friends out there. You know, in terms of how it helps, the credit union industry in and of itself, and for those who may not be familiar with it, are basically non-for-profit banks. They focus on a particular niche. Sometimes it's a particular organization. Sometimes it's a particular profession. Sometimes it's a community. In this case, there are a number of credit unions that focus just on police officers and their family. And the surface level of how they help is to provide financial services that are a little bit of a better cost and a little bit more aligned with that profession than, say, a large bank like a Chase or a Wells Fargo, maybe. Nothing against Chase or Wells Fargo, but these particular institutions really understand some of the ins and outs of being a police officer and what that means from a financial standpoint. And also it goes beyond that. I mean, the whole premise of credit unions is about people helping people. And so a lot of these credit unions, especially credit unions that serve law enforcement, they go much deeper than that. In fact, I had a meeting with a lot of my police officer executive friends a week or two ago. And we talked about the fact that it isn't just about the loan. It isn't just about the checking account. One story was an officer got turned down for a loan, and it was rightfully so given the parameters. But the CEO of the organization actually sat with that officer because he was so upset. And it goes beyond that in that she realized that, you know, it's not just about being turned down for a loan, that this gentleman was dealing with some serious issues and was able to steer him, you know, into certain areas of help that, you know, normally, you know, no offense to Chase, but they're not going to give somebody a brochure for a place like Serve and Protect. That's a 24/7 hotline for law enforcement. Mm-hmm. So that's what police credit unions do. They not only help them with financial services, but really begin to understand the trials and tribulations of that particular field of membership.
Sure. So I understand that piece, that the credit unions are definitely more intimately involved with their customers, shall we say.
Sure.
So how does the association then, like, help me understand the association piece and how that, now you've got credit unions from all over the country that are now part of this association. So your association is serving the credit union members, like, help me to understand how that all works.
Sure. Well, originally, the premise of what we call the POCUA, Police Officers Credit Union Association, was to provide a forum in different types of settings for collaboration among the credit union executives and their board members. Most of their board members, not surprisingly, are retired or active police officers.
Okay.
And so from a collaboration standpoint, to find ways where these institutions could work together to help build their businesses, as well as to be able to better serve those police officers that they serve. Since then, it's grown to be a lot more robust in that we still certainly have the collaboration piece, but we also work to provide a clear voice of support for police officers around the country. So from that standpoint, we also reach out and try to connect with and not just support, but work with some of these organizations out there, like the National Alliance for Law Enforcement Support, or Serve and Protect, who I mentioned, or a How to Love Your Cop out of California, that do some and provide some services, non-financial, that really, really help the officers, whether it's from a psychological standpoint, emotional, physical, or so forth, so that we're not just simply, you know, concentrating on the financial piece, but we're concentrating on being that support for law enforcement specifically, in that it goes beyond just the financial services. It's about a whole holistic, how can we help these families and need in frankly their real time of need.
Yeah, that's funny that you said the word holistic, because that was the word that was coming to me, and I was thinking to myself, never in my life would I have thought that I would have the word holistic and police next to one another. So
you'd be surprised.
Yeah, it's beautiful, beautiful. Thank you. All right. So I think I have a clearer picture of what you've got going on there. And so I do have one more question about the police stuff, and that is,
please,
do you have someone in your family? Were you involved with the police at one point? Or do you have somebody in your family? Like my mother's father, my grandfather, he was a policeman for a period of time. He was a farmer, and he was a bus driver, and he was a policeman. And so I have a little bit of police lineage. And I, at one point, had a police officer who I was in a relationship with, who probably could have used some mental health support. So I would love to hear from you, like, what, how did that happen? Like, how did you make the decision to pick the police?
You know, it's kind of like the police picked me in some way, shape, or form. You know, I don't have any family members that were involved in law enforcement. My dad was a successful high school teacher. My mom worked for the railroad for decades. Certainly, my dad did have some friends that were Chicago police officers that were family friends, but it wasn't certainly a close tie-in. My background is primarily in business and marketing and also financial. So my entree into law enforcement came through Chicago Patrolman's Federal Credit Union. Yeah. But interestingly enough, what I found, you know, especially over the first 10 years of running the POCUA, and given that the board members, as well as some of the people that actually work at the credit unions, were retired law enforcement, or possibly even active. A number of them, in fact, one of my current clients is the daughter of a police officer. Yeah, I found that connection, and where the passion grew from just simply having a great collaborative network that is helping a specific group, to understanding, you know, the importance of law enforcement and what they were going through, you know, came about 3 or 4 years ago, where, you know, it was obvious that the police officers that I work with really embraced me as one of their own. In fact, I'll tell you a very quick story. I mentioned Scott Arney, the CEO of Chicago Patrolmen's. And he was saying that, you know, over the years, he would be in board meetings and they would talk about certain initiatives that they were doing. And they would say something like, well, maybe Kenny can help with that. And, you know, nobody ever really calls me Kenny, but it's kind of like a Chicago thing. You know, you got big Petey, little Petey, you know, medium-sized Petey. But, you know, he told me about this, and he joked, and he said, that's when I knew that you were accepted. Because, you know, if they just said, well, who's that guy that, you know, runs that association? But, you know, they actually not only remembered my name, but called me Kenny, which is kind of a strange term of endearment.
Yeah.
Yeah, that, hey, you know, he's a good guy and he's one of us. And feeling that and seeing some of the things that were happening out there, and specifically a number of years ago, a Chicago police officer. I didn't know him personally, but my good friend Scott Arney did know him personally, was shot and killed in the line of duty. And an article came out in the Chicago Tribune so that I got online and of course read it. And I remember how much it affected Scott and it affected a lot of people that I knew. And the headline on that particular story was basically, at the end of the day, police know that they're alone. And it talked about how even during the funeral, yes, you know, people that are non-police, you know, say, hey, I'm sorry, I feel for you and what's happened. But then the law enforcement brothers and sisters go home and they truly feel alone. Mm. And I thought to myself, what a terrible feeling. And, you know, frankly, you know, while I'm not a police officer, you know, I certainly care. I certainly felt it without even knowing this officer that was down. And I also thought to myself, hey, I know a number of organizations and people that are involved in those organizations that do care. And so you're not alone. And that's where that passion or that call that you mentioned earlier, you know, became even a greater call in that, you know, this isn't just about collaboration anymore and maybe getting a business thing done and having a couple of drinks and an appetizer at an annual conference. You know, this is about, you know, clearly showing support for law enforcement in this time. In making that connection, if that makes sense.
Beautiful. Well, thank you for answering that call. And we are going to have to take a short break here, Ken, but Kenny, I'm going to call you Kenny now.
That's Kenny, fine. You and I have become friends. You can call me Kenny.
Hi, Kenny. We're going to be back in just a moment with Kenny Bader. And when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more about your other business and about running two things. Like, that's a big deal, running two things. So, but before we go, I want to thank all of our listeners who are downloading, rating, and reviewing. We've already had thousands of downloads from all over the world. And since Kenny started the show talking about Hawaii, we'll shout out to our listeners this week in Hawaii. So, hey, Hawaii, aloha. And we will be right back with Ken Bader.
The Men on Purpose podcast is brought to you by the Creative Age Consulting Group. Men, are you ready to take the leap and go deep to discover the most meaningful mark you can make with your life? Is now the time to consciously craft the legacy life you want to lead? Are you already a legendary leader looking for your big what's next? Creative Age Consulting Group is hired to help men just like you to gain clarity, create consciously, and commit courageously. Please visit timetomakeyourmark.com to apply for an invitation-only consultation. Be sure to apply for a consultation today if you have been inspired to receive support in serving your purpose and making your most meaningful mark. Once again, that's timetomakeyourmark.com or click on the link in the show notes for access to the application.
And we are back with Ken Bader of Bader Training and Consulting Incorporated and the Police Officers Credit Union Association. So in the first half of the show, we talked a lot about the Police Officers Credit Union Association and about Ken's call to serve in that area, but that all actually was born out of his training and consulting company. So in this second half of the show, I want to talk to you a little bit about that. And I want to talk mostly about, first, I want to talk about the courage that it took for you to begin your own business when you got canned back in 2000, you know, you could have just said, okay, I work for a $4 billion company. I should be able to get a job somewhere else fairly easily. Mm. Tell us about that journey and about having courage and what you did to kind of exercise your own courage muscle.
Yeah, maybe it was courage, maybe it was arrogance, maybe it was a combination thereof.
Maybe it was crazy.
Yeah, maybe it was nuts. You know, every good entrepreneur I've ever known has been at least a little bit nuts. I think you have to be. But yeah, I think it was the way that I needed to deal with it and bounce back. I mean, a part of it, you know, bluntly was arrogance. You know, I got canned by people that, you know, I thought were, you know, at the time, you know, not as smart as me, not as qualified as me. And maybe there's some truth to that, but, you know, over the past 17 years, you know, I've come to realize that basically some of the things that put me in that situation, which just weren't wise. But, you know, part of it, too, in terms of the courage was, you know, I really had a passion for speaking and writing and training. You know, one of my most favorite things to do is to be up in front of a small group, whether it's to train on a specific concept such as branding, culture building, or strategic planning are my three primary areas of focus. Or it's to lead the team through a particular process. Ironically, you know, this week, I mean, frankly, right after I have the pleasure of speaking with you, I've got a bag half packed, and I'm gonna head to see one client in Omaha and another client in Minnesota. And yeah, that is less about me giving a speech and more about facilitating their group to get, not give them anything, but to get more out of them. Because after 17 years of doing this, I find that, you know, I don't really give that much, but I shed light on what they already have going on and how to put that together. So one is about creating a better business development sales process from a branding standpoint. And the other is a full-blown strategic planning facilitation. And yeah, and I'm so glad that I had the courage to do this, because I found that not only do I have a real passion for it, but it's so much darn fun, Emerald. It really is. So I'm blessed to be doing things that I really enjoy.
Well, I see the joy in your face and I hear the joy in your voice. And so that is a beautiful thing, to be able to create something out of nothing, which is basically what being an entrepreneur is all about, to be able to create something out of nothing and create cash flow to support yourself for 17 years and have it be joyful and have enough bandwidth to do a second business. That's pretty amazing. So congratulations, Ken, and I really honor and appreciate you for showing up and spreading some joy. So I want to let people know where they can find out more about you. Before I do that, though, I'd love to ask, like, who are, like you said, you're going to Omaha and Minnesota, and like, who are the people who generally are your clients for your consulting and training?
Sure. Program? Yeah. Sure. Great question. And thanks for asking. Generally, the clients that I work with are service-based businesses, what I call businesses that where the experience for their customers, clients, or members is more important than the actual products or services. So I've worked with restaurants, salons, different financial institutions, credit unions, banks, advisors, so forth, even a bus charter company. And you would think, well, isn't the product, you know, just moving people from one place to another? It's like, no, it really isn't, because, you know, there's a lot of places to get from one place to another. And whether it's on a bus, a restaurant, or a banking institution, if somebody has a less than meets expectations experience, you know, there's plenty of places they can get financial services, plenty of places to eat, plenty of places to get your hair done. You know, I've gone through all of them. Plenty of places to get, you know, a bus charter even. You know, what makes the difference is, hey, I didn't only have a decent experience, I had a fabulous experience, and I want to tell everybody else about it. Those are the clients that are generally drawn to me, and those are the clients that I do my best work with.
Beautiful. So I love that. I actually believe that we moved into the experience economy a while back, and I feel that experiences are really a potent way of differentiating yourself as an entrepreneur. So awesome. So people, you can find out more about Ken and what he has to offer, including getting a free ebook at B as in Bader, T as in training, C as in consulting, Inc., I-N-C, btcinc.net. So you can go right there, and when you get to the site, there are lots of complimentary tools and offerings there for you to take a look at. And if Kenny is your man, please reach out to him and have a direct conversation and let him know that you heard about him on the Men on Purpose podcast. That would be awesome.
Absolutely.
So, Kenny, I want to ask you, let me see what else I want to ask you. I think the next question I want to ask you about is, like, you are running two businesses. So that means you've got to make a lot of choices about how you're devoting your time and your energy and what you say yes to and what you say no to. So I'd love to hear about your choice process. Like, how do you know? Are you, is it more intuitive? Is it more like analytical? Like, how do you make choices in your business? And especially, how do you make the choice about how you're going to kind of divide your time and your energy in order to serve two masters, essentially?
Sure. Sure. Well, yeah, I find that the two businesses kind of meld together, because a lot of the talents or expertise that I use for clients in beta training and consulting serve me very well in the Police Officers Credit Union Association. The way that I kind of process it in my mind, since technically from a legal standpoint, the Police Officers Credit Union Association is a part of or a subsidiary of Beta Training and Consulting. So the way that I kind of approach it is that the POCUA is one of my best clients. So the way that I kind of start my day is, okay, what are the number one needs for my clients and who do I need to help first? And frankly, there are some times where the POCUA, for one reason or another, is kind of running on its own, in that, all right, we've finished one conference, we don't have another event for a while, I've given out the information and made the connections that I need, and now's the time to focus on client A or client B. There are other times, frankly, like today, where it needs to be all of the above. So I think one of the things that I learned from another entrepreneur is, you know, in this busyness and craziness of how to manage your day, especially with two businesses or one and a half or two and a quarter or whatever you want to call it, is I ask myself in my mind, okay, what's important now, or when, as some people say? And 99% of the time when I take a breath and I ask my mind that, because your mind is a very, very valuable computer, and I say, okay, what's important now? And my mind will spit out, this needs to be done now because you have X amount of time. And even though this deadline isn't for 8 days from now, this is the hour and 15 minutes that you're going to have to focus on that. So do that now. And, you know, I won't lie that cash flow is certainly in my decision making. You know, if one client is going to produce a more significant cash flow in a particular month than another, obviously my focus is going to go there, not arbitrarily, but it's going to go there and not at the expense of the other things that I'm doing. In terms of choices, I'll finish my long diatribe of an easy question with this. Yeah, a lot of it, you know, from a choice standpoint, is after 17 years, I've become very good at not trying to arbitrarily sell on a client, but to truly put out there, this is how I can help, this is the value that I offer. It either makes sense or it doesn't. Case in point, the client that I have a pleasure of visiting in Minnesota later this week came to me somewhat out of the blue. It wasn't from networking, it wasn't from word of mouth. It was the first time I had ever heard of them or talked to this particular CEO. And he asked for a call, which I was happy to give. And he mentioned, you know, this is what I'm looking for. I'm interviewing a few different facilitators and consultants. And about 15 years ago, I would have played that in a rather vanilla fashion and said, all right, I don't want to say anything that will not get me this gig. But now in terms of choices, because I only have so much time, you know, I want to work with a client that really is going to get a high level of benefit from me. And so I put it out there. I said, yeah, this is my foundation. It's on the, what I call the B plus C plus S formula, branding, culture, and strategy, and how those connect. And this is how I do that. And this is how I teach this and how I bring everybody together. And basically, in a very nice and professional way, said, either that resonates with you and we're going to do some great work together, or it doesn't, and that's fine. No harm, no foul. But then we really don't need to waste each other's time anymore. Good luck to you. Fortunately, it was the former, because I did get the client.
But I love that clarity.
I think that's how I make choices these days on how to spend my time.
All right, Kenny. Well, clarity is divinity, and our time is up. So I want to say thank you. It's amazing how fast it goes. It's super amazing how fast it goes. So I do want to say thank you so much for being on the show and for bringing, you know, some of the things I heard were breathe and choose about, look at your cash flow and, you know, be clear and set clear boundaries and clear expectations. So thank you so much for bringing those gems to our listeners, and thank you so much for your service to our brothers and sisters in blue. I really appreciate you being here. And listeners, we love feedback. Please let us know what you thought of today's show, or send in questions or guest suggestions to listeners@menonpurposepodcast.com. We might even give you a shout out on the show. Thanks for tuning in, and keep your ears open. And remember, you are magnificent men.
Thanks for tuning in, downloading, and listening. Be sure to review and rate Men on Purpose on iTunes and share with other men who can benefit from today's episode. Men on Purpose is the premier podcast series for informing, activating, and inspiring the leader who has made his money and knows that now is the time to make his mark. We welcome your feedback and guest suggestions and invite you to subscribe to our mailing list to be notified of each new episode at menonpurposepodcast.com.